the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Almighty God, Father of the whole human family, we thank you and ask your blessing as we gather for this uniquely American moment.
The Supreme Court has said that it's cruel and unusual punishment to give the death penalty to a rapist. And I don't think that an innocent child conceived in rape deserves the death penalty either.
We so often downplay this as if it's something unimportant to have word and sacrament in the church, as if receiving this gospel is sort of just something we do here. No, it is who we are.
Homeschool families love issues, etc. We have issues.
Seems pretty straightforward. The Old Testament, all these laws, some of them had to do with, well, just a moral life. Some of them had to do with civil government. Some of them aren't so straightforward about what they could and what they could not eat. There were certain foods, certain animals, whole classes of livestock that were declared unclean by God, not fit for consumption by his Old Testament people. And here we find Jesus in Mark chapter 7. The passage that will occupy our attention here for our pastor's roundtable, declaring all foods clean. He undoes the Old Testament laws. He says, what was formerly forbidden to you, for whatever reason, is now not forbidden to you. And he does it by telling a parable that doesn't sound like a parable. The disciples ask him about it, and then when Jesus explains it, he doesn't really explain it. He just repeats it. We're going to see what we do with Jesus when he talks about what defiles a man. Now, he alone can speak authoritatively on this subject because he alone has none of that inner defilement that he describes in such great detail in this passage in Mark chapter 7. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our Pastor's Roundtable for the first hour on this Thursday afternoon, August the 30th. Pastor Charlie Henriksen, Pastor Mark Knuckles will be our guest. In the second hour of the program, Colleen Carol Campbell is going to join us. We're going to talk about several subjects. First of all, taking up her reflections on Todd Akin, the Democratic Party, and abortion, and then her thoughts as a Catholic voter on the Catholic vote and Paul Ryan, the GOP vice presidential nominee. He actually spoke last night to some considerable enthusiasm at the Republican National Convention. We'll see what she thought about his speech there as well. Then Dr. David Menton joins us from Answers in Genesis. We will respond to Bill Nye, the science guy. Have you seen that floating around on social media? Bill Nye says that evolution is the only basis for biological science. If we don't teach our children evolution, we're making them, well, it's the reason we lag behind in math and science in comparison to other nations. And he says, parents, if you want to reject evolution, go ahead and do that, but don't do it to your kids because they got to be smart for the future that faces us. We'll get Dr. Menton's response to all of that in hour two of Issues, Etc. You can join us with questions or comments. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC, or you can leave a question or comment for our Pastor's Roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Charlie Henriksen is here in the studio joining us for our Pastor's Roundtable. He's pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran Church in Potosi, Missouri. Charlie, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here.
Joining us from Austin, Texas, where he is pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church there, Dr. Mark Knuckles. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks a lot. Good to have you guys.
Charlie, let's set the context for this, because this could be somewhat misunderstood. If we don't understand what occasions Jesus kind of, everybody stop and listen to me and understand what I'm saying. Obviously, what he has to say here is very important. What's the occasion for him needing to say it?
This follows on this text in Mark 7 about clean and unclean foods, follows on last week's gospel reading in this lectionary series, the first part of chapter 7. And it's about the what you might call the Jewish distinctives, both the traditions of the elders and, in this case, even some of the commandments that God gave distinctively to Israel, in this case about clean and unclean foods. So it was one of the controversies with his Jewish opponents, Jesus himself being a Jew, which centered on things like the Sabbath, washing your hands, clean and unclean foods, these kinds of things, where his Jewish religious opponents were accusing Jesus of teaching against the law and the traditions of the elders.
So what does Jesus mean when, and we'll hear it two times from him, Pastor Knuckles, when he says it's not what goes in from the outside, but what comes out from the inside that defiles a man? What's he talking about if not only food?
The Pharisees were trying to be sincere in their intent to obey the law. Not too unlike many of us, we have a sincere motive to begin a specific habit, and it turns into a practice, which turns into a tradition, and finally a law. They were attempting to do something that was good and beneficial, but they allowed it to supersede and actually replace their right standing in God's sight by what they did. So they kept looking to what then goes into themselves, their outward righteousness, to be that which really mattered in the sight of God, and not what was inside of them, which was ultimately clothed and cleansed by the blood of Christ.
What is he saying about sin, Charlie? I mean, there's something, a lot of Christians believe sin to be not primarily something internal, but something that kind of gloms onto you from the outside, like getting dirty, temptations, all these things that come from the outside. And if we can keep them from getting in,
yeah,
then we can kind of maintain our sinless or next to sinless status. What's Jesus saying?
It's not recognizing the root problem within us. In this passage, Jesus is countering the notion, as you're indicating, that sins are these little individual things that we can control and thus be free of sin, and therefore right standing before God, if we just try it hard enough, you know. And if we can manage to avoid the external things, like not eating pork, that somehow we're meriting our righteousness before God. And Jesus says, as he does in many places in the Gospels, as in the Sermon on the Mount, where they try to keep their management of the law something they could control, he says it goes much deeper than this. I think of the passage in Matthew 5, where he says, if you, you know, if you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. If you look at a woman with lust, you've committed it. Because they were trying to think it's just the external things that we can control, and if we can manage that, we're better than the bad people, and God must be pleased with us. And Jesus saying, it goes right to the heart of who you are, this corrupted, sinful nature. That is what makes you unclean.
So, Pastor Knuckles, we were talking about this before the show started, Charlie and I, and I'm curious about what you think. This obviously has to have its context in the Old Testament dietary laws, primarily this one's dietary, where some of the restrictions just seem completely arbitrary, or, I mean, at least they don't make any sense to us. Why, among all the laws that God had given to the Old Testament people, why did he give them dietary restrictions? What was the purpose of that?
To set them apart from the other cultures and the other peoples of that area and that arena that was tied to not eating the sacrifices that they would sacrifice on the high places. And for them, they had a very specific dietary law in order to continue that maintaining of holiness, that God wanted to set them apart as people, to make them different than all the other peoples in that region, that they would stand out and be different.
So, Charlie, there's nothing intrinsically wrong or unclean about eating shellfish or pork or whatever else was restricted to the Old Testament people of God in their dietary laws?
Yes, because as it says right here, Jesus here declares all foods clean, or he makes clean all foods. In the book of Acts, we see St. Peter has to get a visual reminder of this, that it was okay to eat those foods. Now, that was very hard for them to overcome, that those who were Christians who were raised Jews as Jews. In fact, that was one of the top issues in the early church. What do we do with Gentiles? Do they have to follow all the, you know, circumcision, the unclean foods, all of these things? And what the church realized through God's revelation was that those were preparatory, foreshadowing or preparing the way for the arrival of the one who is our cleanness, who is our Sabbath rest, who does cleanse us from sin, and that is Jesus. And therefore, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, when the real deal has arrived, the shadows are no longer needed. I mean, there's some similarity in the shape of the shadow to the thing coming into the room, but once the substance has arrived, there's no more need for the shadow.
So with only a minute here, there are still many who, either for cultural or for devout religious reasons, I'm talking here about ethnic Jews, who restrict their diets in this way. Pastor Knuckles, is any of that necessary any longer now that the substance has come?
Of course not. The necessity of it is no longer needed. Is it okay? Absolutely. One is free to do that with our Christian freedom, but it is not required. And even then, even though it was required then, it had nothing to do with their salvation. Their salvation still was the same as ours, justification by grace through faith. It was not because of those deeds or those acts. And that is where they get themselves into a pickle today. When people get into these dietary laws or fasting and so on, that's all necessary.
St. Paul calls the forbidding of foods the doctrine of demons.
Well, we'll have to come back to that. It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, August the 30th. Pastor Charlie Hendrickson, Pastor Mark Knuckles. We'll be right back.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
By grace not dead, but claimed to merit, the works and conduct of the month, God in His love sent our Redeemer, Christ Jesus, to this sinful earth. His death did for our sins atone, and we are saved by grace alone.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, By Grace I'm Saved. We're talking with our pastor's roundtable. Jesus' famous words about what defiles a man. And before our conversation concludes, we'll talk about what actually cleanses a man, too. And that's an important part of understanding this text from Mark chapter 7. We're giving away the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment for our pastor's roundtable in this first hour. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or visit our Facebook fan page. We've left space there for you to leave a question or comment for our pastor's roundtable, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Starting in verse 14 there, and we've gone over some of this already, he called the people to him again and said, "Hear me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside a man that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." That's the first time he says this, Charlie. How shocking would that have been, now that we've set this context of how they thought about the food they ate, how shocking would that have been to every devout Jew listening to him?
If they thought of themselves as, because they are Abraham's children, they are special in themselves, they are good people, they would say, all right, the person who falls into abject sin, the tax collector, the prostitute, the adulterer, all right, those people are dirty. They need to get cleansed. But we who are religious, we're good people. We're basically good people. And, we're God's people. We're the children of Abraham. We're not dirty inside. We're not defiled. We're keeping the laws. You know, like the rich young man, all these I have kept since I was young.
Then in verse 17, the venue changes, Pastor Knuckles. When he had entered the house and left the people, the disciples asked him about the parable, and I think a lot of people will kind of pause there at the end of verse 17 and say, didn't sound like a parable, not at least in the conventional sense. Sounded pretty straightforward statement from Jesus.
Yeah, except it completely, for them, and though none of them were of the Pharisaical mindset, meaning they didn't have all that training other than obviously the Apostle Paul, but he wasn't here, they have this misunderstanding, and they want it clarified, and he's going to clarify it for them very, very well, but it's not in how they have understood themselves. Man, it makes sense to man for us to be justified by law. That makes sense to us. We understand a tit for a tat. We understand the need for civil righteousness, and we transpose that into our relationship with God, and that's where we get ourselves into a big pickle.
Let me just add why this might be called a parable. And you put your finger on it, Todd. It doesn't sound like the conventional parables that Jesus told. I think in a broader sense, though, you could see why it might be called a parable. The word parable simply comes from a couple of Greek words to throw one thing alongside of another.
Comparison.
A comparison. Mm-hmm. And he does make a comparison here between what causes defilement in terms of, they were thinking in terms of the foods that come into you, unclean foods make you defiled. He's making a comparison. It's really something else that defiles you. It's what's within you. So in the broader sense of being a comparison, You could call it a parable.
At this point, Charlie, he seems exasperated, though, in verse 18. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see?" He seems a little exasperated with the fact that they don't get what he's just said. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters his heart?
Enters not his heart,
but his stomach, and is expelled. A little biology lesson there.
Yeah, it actually says it goes into the latrine in the Greek.
So what's the point he's making there? Because he says it can't defile him because it doesn't go into his heart. It just passes through, so to speak.
Look, if a Jew were defiantly disobeying God's food laws, the problem wouldn't be the food. It would be his disobedient heart. You see, I think one of the purposes of the dietary laws was, while the foods were kind of arbitrary, it was, are you going to obey your creator and your redeemer? Kind of like, I'll make it an analogy here, the Lord gave Adam and Eve a command in the garden. You got all these trees to eat from. Don't eat the fruit of this tree. And are they going to listen to the voice of their Lord or not? So it wasn't that the fruit or the food was inherently bad as food. It's, is your heart willing to follow the voice of the Lord?
He seems at pains, Pastor Knuckles, with some rather extensive prepositions, grammatically speaking, to make it clear it's not that which comes from the outside and goes into. I mean, this is a study not only for Greek students in kind of the compound prepositions of the Greek language, but also a little bit later, some very obscure vocabulary about various ways to sin. But here he's saying it's not from the outside going in, but from the inside coming out. Why is it so important that we understand the direction, the source from which things come, and the direction that they're going?
If we don't understand our original sin, then we will always see ourselves in terms of potential. We have the potential to become a better person. We have the potential if we have just a spark. And he's trying to make it very clear that there is nothing good within me. Exactly what the psalmist of the Old Testament said over and over again, as well as other places in the Scripture besides the Psalms. But making it very, very clear that mankind is not righteous by anything he can do or even attempt to do because of his vile nature.
I think of the saying, garbage in, garbage out. Well, I think in this text, it's more a question of what defiles you. Is it the garbage in or is it the garbage out? It's the garbage coming out of you. It's not this food or that food that comes into you. It's you've got enough garbage within you. And that's your root problem. I think I've often in catechesis taught about original sin and actual sins. And the difference between sin with a big S and sins with a small S. Or roots and fruits. You know, the image of a tree. Jesus says a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. So because we have this sinful nature, what will come out of us will take the form of actual sins, both sins of commission and sins of omission. And Jesus gives a bunch of a whole litany here, a laundry list of sins, both that are external and some that are internal.
Why are we so blind, Pastor Knuckles, to this condition of the heart that Jesus sees so accurately?
For us to come to terms with ourself, we have to deal with a lot of blackness. And it's what truly scares all of us, you and me, when we sit and contemplate ourselves in the sight of God. And just like Adam and Eve scampered in hiding and wrestled with guilt and shame as they dealt with what they had done in the aftermath of what they had done, we are in the same predicament every single day. If we can come up with something within us that's worthy, then we begin to view ourselves as having worth without God. And once we begin to view ourselves as having any kind of worth without God, then that's the beginning going down that road leading to hell.
Charlie, the term he uses here for defilement, sometimes it's unclean, it's not the word that you would expect for like unclean spirit, which is a very common word in Mark's gospel. Mm-hmm. He knows how to say unclean spirit. He uses a word here that probably is most simply translated common. How should we understand that term that Jesus is using about being defiled?
Yeah, it's the word koinos, which means common. We have our word koinonia, which is usually a good context word, to have things in common. But common can also have the sense of not being set apart, not being holy.
Not sacred.
Not being set apart to belong to God. And it's actually similar to the word profane, which means outside of the temple. The distinction between the mundane or the profane versus what is holy or sanctified or sacred unto God. So it's a little different nuance here, but in context it means unclean or defiled or not set apart to belong to God.
This is a pretty profound defilement, though, Charlie. I mean, Jesus holds nothing back when he diagnoses the condition and the products of the human heart there. He has a long list of things that are, I mean, he picks some vile stuff.
Why don't you read that, or do you want me to read it, or do you want to read
well,
it?
Well, how about this? I mean, it's just a list to contemplate when he says what comes out of the heart of a man. He starts with evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery. We're almost to the end of the Ten Commandments there. Then he gets coveting, and then wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, which I think actually really means, or it even says...
The evil eye.
An evil eye, slander, pride, and foolishness. And then in verse 23, all these evil things come from within. They defile a person. Sounds like he's saying, I'm already defiled. I don't have to sit around waiting to get defiled. I am the source of my own defilement. Is that what he's saying with about a minute here before our break?
You know, if you got through part of this list and say sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, I haven't done those things. Well, then you come to coveting, witness, those are in the heart. And then you come to pride and foolishness at the end. If you thought you made it through this list all the way, you have pride and foolishness.
We'll be right back.
Heart will tell on you.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, Issues, Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin, Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin, Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois, Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland, Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming, Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington, Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois, Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas, St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin, Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois, Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Many people contact us to find out if various charities support abortion or give money to Planned Parenthood. One of those groups I want to tell you about is the American Cancer Society. Not only have they given grants to Planned Parenthood, but they're spreading lies about the abortion industry giant. In a letter dated mid-July from Dr. Otis Brawley, the American Cancer Society's chief medical officer, he defended the grant, saying, "Planned Parenthood delivers more children than any other medical practice in the U.S. This is patently false. They don't deliver any babies. Sadly, they kill over 900 each day." Then, when called on the misinformation, the organization says they never said that. But we have a copy of the letter. Please, keep this in mind when they ask you for money.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
The Children's Choir of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with the hymn God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. It's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's sacred music for the world 24/7. And beginning this Sunday, something very special we're starting at Lutheran Public Radio. This Sunday at 1 p.m. Central, that's 1 o'clock in the afternoon Central, we're going to play a Bach cantata uninterrupted. This Sunday, cantata number 33, that's Allein zu dir, Herr Jesu Christ, in you alone, Lord Jesus Christ. That's Sunday afternoon at 1 Central, 2 Eastern, noon Mountain, and 11 in the morning in, Pacific, I believe. It's a Bach Cantata 33 on LutheranPublicRadio.org, played uninterrupted, in you alone, Lord Jesus Christ. It's our Pastor's Roundtable. Pastor Mark Knuckles, Pastor Charlie Henriksen are our guests. Pastor Knuckles, I want your thoughts on the list of sins that Jesus pulls out of the human heart to show us.
They're not, one could even say that they're not complete enough. These cover the big ones. You know, obviously, the different commandments are already covered in all of those. But they could even be further. And I'm sure that, you know, he could have sat there and spoken on and on and on about them. The fact that he is recognizing our struggle is of great importance, because he's ultimately setting forth before them what he himself is going to end up carrying for us on that cross, the very place where he fixes what we have, of course, screwed up.
You know, these sins cover all kinds of sins of, as we say, thought, word, and deed. You know, evil thoughts, but then you've got external things with acts, you know, deeds, theft, murder, adultery, but then again, internal stuff, coveting, thoughts of sins of word, slander, internal sins, pride, foolishness. So really there is no escaping here. And I think that's the message of the law, is that Christ wants us to realize that we are defiled internally, and we cannot fix that. And as Pastor Knuckles says, there is only one way that we can be cleansed, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Knuckles, I want you to speak a little bit to the contrast, though, because the one who is speaking these words has none of this defilement in his heart. Out of his heart comes none of these things. He is pure of heart. He is unique in that sense among all men, that he is fully human yet without sin. So it must not be intrinsic to humanity that we are defiled like this. It must be unnatural to us, even though we could talk about our human nature. It must be ultimately unnatural to how God intended us to be. Talk about that.
Oh, yes. This is not how we were created. Adam was perfect, and Eve was perfect before the sin came into the world. All of this flowed from the disobedience and ultimately the sin that they themselves brought on to humanity for their disobedience. These things become signposts, and as I said, the list could be even more complete than what has already been spoken. And as Charlie said so well, this covers not only sins that we have failed to do, but sins that we have actively committed. These things are also going to be the very things that he himself carries, that he himself experiences, and that he himself pays for the very things that he speaks of them, so that they know they are going to be covered by this same righteousness, the skin of the animal, the Lamb of God, who's going to cover them.
Should we note here, Charlie, that he does not have a list to balance it out? He doesn't say, you know, you guys are kind of a mixture of good and evil. He doesn't have a list of positive things that come out of your heart. Well, while good things come out of your heart, there's lots of bad things that come out of your heart. It's just an entirely negative list. What should we take away from that?
Here he's preaching the law. Here he's telling people that they are not clean in themselves. Now, in other places, he does talk about, like in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the merciful. And, you know, these characteristics would be characteristics of the disciples of Jesus who are cleansed by his blood and now have the character of their Father in heaven who is merciful. So Jesus does talk about that, but in other contexts. Here we need to realize that we all are defiled. We all are guilty of these things in one way or another, and we do not have this righteousness inherent in us. We need a righteousness that is outside of us.
Well, that's the point that I think we need to come to here in our conversation, because if the defilement and the problem, if the disease is within, and it seems quite clear that Jesus is saying, so you're not going to find anything within to solve this problem, does the remedy, the rescue, have to come from outside, Charlie?
Yeah, and when we were at the seminary, Todd, one of my favorite Latin phrases that I learned was the little phrase extra nos, outside of us. And that's a good thing, that it isn't dependent on what's within us. It's our salvation is dependent on what is outside of us and given to us as a gift, and that is the perfect righteousness of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And it is by his blood that we are cleansed.
Isn't that the comfort? Because, boy, if it's outside of me, then I know that it's not going to be mangled and screwed up by myself, that it stands objective and clear and constant and without movement. Because all of us know how our emotions go up and down and our view of ourselves goes up and down.
That righteousness we can be sure of. If it depends on our even as Christians, if it depends on our ability to keep all the commandments and all that, we won't find security.
Well, and if your solution is, as many Christians I think sadly believe, well, okay, I have a sinful nature, then I'm given a new nature, now I kind of maintain this righteousness by keeping all the bad stuff out again. We're right back where we started. Now I can keep my righteousness by keeping all the bad sins out of me, whatever they may be, or off of me.
Repentance is recognizing this is me in this verse, you know, and putting to death these things. It's living in your baptism. It's the daily dying and rising with Christ, because we are saddled with this old Adamic nature our whole life long, and it's a daily constant putting it to death in the waters of baptism.
Let's see what Andy has to say. He's listening in Kirkwood, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Well, your conversation has turned directly in the direction that I wanted to talk about. We had Bible study last night looking at the gospel for this coming Sunday, the tail end of John chapter 6. Would you excuse me just a moment?
Okay.
The conversation went in the direction of, well, I know some people who feel that having been saved, that they are growing less sinful, and in fact, they don't sin very much anymore. Every few days, why, maybe they'll sin, but that's about it. And I said, well, if we look at the rest of the verse, it talks about Jesus redeeming us. Are they saying that they don't need to be redeemed anymore? And I'll take the answer off the air.
That's a good question for both of our pastors. Let's start with you, Pastor Knuckles.
That's a really sad state for one to be in. They may think of themselves as, quote-unquote, having their stuff together, but the question at that point is going to be that, you know, are they really seeing themselves for what they really are? Can they really look at themselves and say, honestly? And if they are saying it honestly, then they have a hardened heart, and that's scary. Now, if they're ignorant, then law is what their heart needs to show them and reveal to them how black that is on the inside. For that person to look out there and say that I'm not cut from the same bolt of cloth as that beggar on the side of the street or the prostitute or the drug addict or the child molester, to say that I'm not cut from the same bolt of cloth is to deny original sin, is to deny that it all came through Adam and Eve.
I think of two passages. One is the Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus gave his disciples to pray every single day, in which we say, give us this day our daily bread. And in the very next breath, we say, forgive us our trespasses. Meaning that every time we can pray, give us this day our daily bread, we can also say, forgive us our trespasses, because we, as Luther says, we daily sin much. The other passage I think of is in Romans 7, where Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's the reality of the flesh, the sinful flesh.
So even Christians who have been cleansed by Christ's blood still possess this nature that Jesus is describing here in his discourse on what comes out of a man's heart, Charlie?
Yes. And again, it's a both and. According to the law, we are sinners, and we've got this sinful flesh that would condemn us. But according to the new nature in Christ, having been baptized, having received the Holy Spirit, we now can do something other than sin. We can obey God. We can follow His voice. But we are always that will always be on the grow in this life. It will never be perfect. We always need God's forgiveness in Christ.
10 minutes left for your questions or comments on what defiles a man from Mark 7, 1-877-623-MYIE, facebook.com/issuesETC, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the Church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
What are the sources and origins of writings like the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Gospel of Thomas, and how do they compare to the Bible? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is One Word, Many Writings, a study of the origins of religious writings. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about One Word, Many Writings by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Oh, how great is your compassion, give all the God of grace.
the hymn, Oh, How Great Is Your Compassion, the first stanza. It's our pastor's roundtable for the next 10 minutes on this Thursday afternoon, August the 30th. Pastor Charlie Henriksen is pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bonterra, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran Church in Potosi, Missouri. And Pastor Mark Knuckles is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. Let's see. Ken in Winter Park has a question, and several other listeners as well. In Winter Park, Florida, he asks, did the Old Testament dietary laws and their fulfillment in Christ prepare the church for the true holy food of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper? First you, Pastor Knuckles.
Sure. You could go that direction. The ultimate fulfillment in Christ is obviously the key thing. And the things that even the thing where it can be misunderstood would be the fact that if we begin to look at our participation in the Lord's Supper as if we're doing something good, then we're resorting back to Phariseeism again, rather than seeing it as ultimately God's good for us and to us and in us. But yes, one could look at it that way.
Is the Lord's Supper part of that extra nos you were talking about, Charlie?
I was thinking of that. What comes from outside of us does come into us. The Holy Gospel preached in our ears, the Lord's body and blood coming into our mouth, showing that God is redeeming us and forgiving our sins and actually redeeming us both in soul and in body. That's a distinctive thing about the sacraments, is that showing God redeeming our body as well as our souls.
Donna in Deer Creek, Minnesota has a general question, Pastor Knuckles. The only thing that defiles a person is our original sin, our sinful natures. All of the evil that we do say and think stems from that blight within us. Is that a correct understanding of this passage?
Yes. Yes. Everything that we do is tainted by it. Even the best intentions after we have become a believer, even that is tainted. However, because of the forgiveness in Christ, that is covered. But even our best intentions are always tainted.
Rick listens in Nashville, Illinois. Rick, thanks for waiting.
Oh, that's quite all right. Thanks for taking the call. I'll just skip the question, why did God even bother? And ask the question, how do all good gifts come from the Father of Light? How do we become more like an Enoch, a Samuel, a Job, a Daniel, when these men were so pleasing unto the Lord, but yet it is all of God's grace and strength through us by His Spirit that we can accomplish these things? Like you say, when you go down that list, we're done. Forget it. And how do we achieve to walk like an Enoch? I can't do it for 30 minutes, and he's done it for 300 years.
Rick, repentance and faith, being filled with the Word of God, prayer, the means of grace. This is how we are strengthened, and relying on God's mercy when we fail.
Well, but don't misunderstand that Enoch and Daniel and all these men of God, or women of God for that matter, in the Old Testament, don't misunderstand that they didn't struggle with their flesh. Good heavens, they had to have struggled with their flesh.
Look at Isaiah.
There wasn't one morning, that David didn't look out his window and see that grave for his child that was born to him from Bathsheba that died, and did not think in his mind, that child's there because of me. There wasn't one morning after he looked out there and saw Absalom's grave that he did not think, that child is living there in that grave because of me. They've struggled with it. That's why they lived by faith, not by their works. And Satan keeps pointing us to our works so that we'll think we'll figure it out and have comfort. And there's always the typical hamster in the wheel. We'll be circling and chasing our tails.
When Isaiah was in the presence of the Holy in his call vision in Isaiah 6, you would think, whoa, I'm pretty good. I get to be here in God's throne room. No, he says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. And then from outside of him, the angel comes with the tongs and the fire and the coal and says, now your sin is taken away. it comes from outside of us.
So to Rick's question there, he kind of holds up his example, Enoch. Enoch walks with God not because he somehow is cleansed, then keeps up the good appearances before God for all those years, but because he clings ever to God's mercy, trusting God's righteousness to avail on his behalf, not his own.
Jesus says, follow me. You know, follow Jesus in faith. Walk with him. This is how you are strengthened in life, but Satan will be out to get you your whole life long. The world will try to pull you away from Christ, your own sinful desires. So, you know, it is a daily dying and rising with Christ.
And he doesn't say, oh, walk so very carefully and walk beautifully. He just says, follow him. He didn't say how to follow him other than faithfully. We keep thinking in terms of we've got to make a success story out of it.
Connie listens in Homer, Alaska, and asks, what exactly does it mean to defile oneself? Is it the sinful heart itself, or is it allowing the sinful heart to express itself? How do we best teach our children not to defile themselves without seeming to teach works righteousness? I can think of be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind and flee from sin and developing a habit of confession and absolution. What else? What are your thoughts there, Charlie?
Well, that's a pretty good start. But appreciate what God does for you to forgive your sins and to draw you close to him and strengthen your faith.
But is the goal here, it sounds like part of what Connie's asking is, well, you know, now that I have been cleansed, how do I keep from getting redefiled? Isn't the whole point, I mean, in the course of our conversation, that even those who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ remain according to their sinful nature, defiled?
Yes, but also, I mean, the Bible would teach us to flee from impurity and flee these things, make a clean break.
How do you flee something that's inside you? How do you get away from something that's inside you?
Put it to death. Now, the temptations from the world, that we can flee in a sense, not putting ourselves in those positions. But, yeah, you're still going to have the pharisaical pride is one. That's the, you know, you run from one danger, you come into another. Pastor Knuckles, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you kill something by confessing it. And by confessing it, you're admitting to it, you're owning it to the point of saying, I can't fix my problem. Only Christ's forgiveness can. We get into trouble when we make excuses, just like Adam and Eve made excuses and blamed everything except confessing it. And God gave them so many opportunities to confess by questioning them in such a manner. And that's the beautiful aspect of our liturgy, that we have that beginning in confession and absolution to kill it. But we also have the great gift of being able to do that one-on-one with our pastor so that we can tell those things to him. Get those things off of our heart and not let them reign there, but let them reign on the shoulders of Christ who bore those for us.
Charlie, a final word here with only about 30 seconds. I cannot help but think of a passage that John must have been inspired in John by these words of Jesus, where John the apostle will later write, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your thoughts with about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's the same word where it says that Jesus makes clean all foods. Yeah, that's the only thing that will cleanse you. And in the book of Revelation, who are these in the white robes? You know, they have cleansed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. That is the only cleansing agent that will take away our defilement.
Pastor Charlie Henriksen is pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran Church in Potosi, Missouri. Charlie, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
Pastor Mark Knuckles is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. Mark, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, brother. Great to have you guys, and great to be with you.
Connie in Alaska, if you would send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible. Thanks to everybody for all their questions for our pastor's roundtable. In hour two of Issues Etc., first Colleen Carol Campbell will join us. We'll talk about Todd Akin, the Democratic Party, and abortion. Also, her thoughts as a Catholic voter on the Catholic vote, and Paul Ryan, the GOP vice presidential pick. Then we'll be talking with Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis about Bill Nye, the science guy. He, a little video among a series of videos circulating on the social media and the internet, where he says that he thinks the reason America lags behind other countries in math and science and general education is because we maintain this, what he says, untenable, unrealistic worldview of creation. He believes that if you reject Darwinism, you're harming your children. And he says that evolution is the basis for all biological science. We'll see what Dr. David Menton has to say about that in hour two of Issues, Etc. I invite your questions and comments in hour two, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. What is it that renders you unclean? How is it you are unclean? Jesus says, from within. And there's nothing you can do about that. You can't escape yourself. The problem is you. The problem is in me. So the solution cannot be in you. Not try harder, not do better, not hold it in. No. None of that does any good. Only makes matters worse. The solution to our inward defilement has to come from outside of us. From one who is like us in every way. Yet, without that inner defilement, his heart is pure. His thoughts are pure. His words are pure. He is holy and utterly pleasing to God in everything he thinks and says and does. He has no sin. And it is that righteousness of Jesus Christ that he gives us when he lays down his life for us and gives his life to us in his resurrection. And that's how we are cleansed. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. business card and the Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues, Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, click Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues, Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. Issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.